Disorder. X1075.
In the studio with us from the Las Vegas Weekly, Josh Bell.
Thank you. Thank you.
Good to have you here.
Always good to be here.
JoshBellHatesEverything.com is the website, and he is a movie critic, a lot of times very critical.
That's my job.
Guessed by the URL of his website. Coming out in theaters this weekend, the second installment in the Narnia Chronicles films.
Yes.
This one's Prince Caspian.
Prince Caspian. Yeah, it's pretty much... no, you know what? I don't mean to sound... I actually like this movie. I'll say right up front.
Okay.
I did enjoy it. And the first movie was The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe, which came out, I think, in 2005. And
what did you think of that one?
I like that one about the same. I felt like it's a decent fantasy adventure. It's not, you know, at the level of The Lord of the Rings or something like that.
Right.
But this is sort of the same. This was maybe even slightly better than the first one. Yes.
Can I ask you a question?
Please.
I was disappointed in the first one.
Okay. Ooh.
I thought the CGI was kind of lame, and I thought that it was pretty anticlimactic.
Yeah.
I thought it was, they made a movie on a big scale that should have been a little bit smaller scale. Is this one better? Is it just better?
I think it is better, although it does suffer from some of those same problems. Yeah. Some of the CGI is a little shaky, and it is definitely, it's like 2 hours and 15 minutes, and it's definitely longer than it needs
to be. See, that's surprising, because the first one was a roaring success, wasn't it?
It was very successful. Oh, yeah. Money-wise, I think this will do well. And the thing to me about this movie is that the book is incredibly boring. And
actually, yeah, this particular book of the series is probably my least favorite.
It's incredibly tedious, and you know, it has this sort of labored religious allegory to it, where Aslan, who's the lion who saves everyone in the Kingdom of Narnia, is, you know, Jesus.
Sure.
Yeah. And the way they kind of
kick-ass Jesus,
exactly. Yeah. But Jesus nonetheless, and the way that's sort of emphasized in the book is just very labored. And I think the best thing they do in this movie is they sort of condense all the boring stuff. So they get you the information quickly, and they expand the battles in a lot of ways. So there's some cool battle sequences, although...
Now, I'm trying to remember, Prince Caspian, because I was a big fan of the books when I was a kid.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Is this the one where they're on the boat, or is that a different...
No, that's the Dawn Treader.
Yeah, the Voyage of the Dawn Treader, which is an excellent... No, this is the Pevensey children, who are the sort of the heroes of the first movie.
Yeah.
They've been back in England for a year, and but 1,300 years have passed in Narnia, and there's an evil king who's ruling, and Prince Caspian is his nephew, who's the rightful heir to the throne, and so he uses magic to call back the Pevenseys. Yes, it's fascinating. But it all unfolds in a fairly exciting way. I mean, it's a little bloated, certainly, and some of the battles, while they're cool, could be condensed a bit. But having read the book, I thought, this is going to be terrible, this movie. And they really did, I think, everything that they could do to make the book into an exciting story while still retaining the basic framework of it for people who are fans of the series, and it gets you into the same place.
That was the weakest one of the bunch, I would say.
Are they going to make a movie for everyone? Is that the plan right now?
Well, they're definitely making the next one, which is the boat one, The Voyage of the Dawn Treader.
What about The Silver Chair?
Good one.
There's rumors that Disney does not want to commit to making all the movies, because one of the things is, if you've read the books, that the children who are the sort of the main characters, they don't appear in the later books.
Right.
And so I think maybe they see them as sort of a difficult sell. But right now, they've said they're making this third movie, and I imagine it will depend on how much money those movies make, whether they make the rest.
See, I think that they're going to do fine. A lot of it has to do with the fact that big church groups, especially when there's a series like this that have a very religious overtone, will just buy out huge theaters.
I mean,
like The Passion of the Christ, for example, was very successful because a lot of these groups would just buy out entire theaters.
Right. One of the biggest openings ever.
And they do push these movies to the Christian groups, and I think successfully. And although, again, from my perspective, one of the better things that they do with this movie is they really tone down the religious allegory. I mean, it's there, and certainly if you're looking for it, you can pick up on it. But all of the sort of on-the-nose stuff that's in the book that's very obviously, you know, Jesus-oriented, a lot of that is taken out or toned down here, which I thought was better, because I think really, for the most part, the average person going to see this movie is not doing it for a religious reason. They're going because they want to see some cool action,
and
the weird creatures, and all that kind of stuff that appeals to the movie audience is really emphasized here, and I think that is a good thing for this movie.
Okay, out of 5 stars?
I give it 3 stars.
Wow.
Yeah,
everything gets 3 stars with you.
It's been a very acceptable summer so far.
Okay.
Let's do this, because that's the big release this weekend.
Yes.
There's not really a lot of other big stuff. Let's talk about some really good films that are in theaters right now.
Speaking of the summer of acceptability, I do enjoy Iron Man, which, you know, seemingly everyone has probably seen right now.
Except me.
Except you.
And
but,
me.
Oh, okay. But a lot of people have seen, except sure. present company excluded, many people
millions,
have seen this movie.
Actually.
Yes, millions. It's made a ton of money. And it's a good movie. I do think, again, like The Prince Caspian, they take the source material, they emphasize the right things, they distill it down to what you want out of a summer blockbuster.
Sure.
And Robert Downey Jr. is very good in it, and it's a lot of fun. It's not ridiculously long, and I don't think anyone has been disappointed by this movie.
Good.
Do either of you guys know what the total is up to now?
It was $50 million last weekend, and they had a $100 million opening, so I think it's $150. They don't usually count the box office during the week, do they?
Yeah, well, they'll count it towards
the
cumulative overall.
Yeah.
So, yeah, and it's made a lot of money worldwide. It's been a big, big, big hit, and it killed Speed Racer last weekend.
Yes, it did.
What else?
Speed Racer sucked.
You see, Speed Racer, yeah. I still have a sort of admiration for the technical expertise of Speed Racer, but I'm not going to recommend that. A couple comedies that are still out that I enjoyed. I've said it several times that Forgetting Sarah Marshall is a lot of fun. And the Harold and Kumar movie, which hasn't been making a whole lot of money, Harold and Kumar Escape from Guantanamo Bay.
See, everyone thought that was going to be the big second movie because the first one had that cult thing going on and that it was going to be a home run. But
I think maybe the Harold and Kumar fans have a certain difficulty in motivating themselves
to
go out to
They're waiting for video. They're waiting for the Netflix.
So, you know, and that was how the first movie did well. But I think for people who did enjoy the first movie, it's fun. It's entertaining. It's got all the things that made the first movie good. And, you know, it's kind of vulgar, but no, not in a negative way. And Forgetting Sarah Marshall, also a good date movie. You know, it's got the sort of the vulgar humor as well, but it's got a lot of, you know, good performances and romance. And those two, I think, are movies that are still out that people, if they saw Iron Man already, that would be good to check out.
Okay. Anything on DVD that we should care about?
Diary of the Dead is coming out, the latest George Romero zombie movie, and I know he's got a big following for the people who love the zombies, but I was kind of disappointed in this one.
That one was filmed in the kind of like the first person kind of way, the
kind
shaky
of
camera.
The Cloverfield perspective, and it just, to me, came off like he's trying a little too hard to, you know, capture some zeitgeist right now, and, you know, the zombies, they're always a political allegory for something, and this one was just a little heavy-handed, and not that scary, so a disappointment for me.
I'd like to commend you on being able to work the word zeitgeist into a normal conversation. Thank you very much. I appreciate that.
I do my best.
You rolled right through.
I appreciate that. Thank you.
All right. A big one coming out this next week is Indiana Jones.
Yes.
And on Sunday, all of us in this room, I think, are going to be able to go to it.
That is
did
so
you
cool.
RSVP, Lemmy?
I did not, but no. I know people.
He's got the hookup.
Josh's sister.
Do we get to take people with us?
Yeah.
We do? You found out about that? I meant to ask
I didn't
you.
Tell you that?
No, you didn't.
Sorry about that. Yeah, you can take a guest.
Yeah, it'll be fun.
Yeah.
I can't wait. Indiana Jones, probably my favorite series of movies ever.
Yeah.
And a big fan, and it's kind of cool that I get to see it before anyone else. Ha ha.
Well,
on Monday's Extreme Disorder, we'll all have our personal reviews of
cool
what we think about Indiana
about
Jones.
That?
Cool or not cool?
Yeah.
I'll be happy to review it either way.
Yeah, well, watch what you say.
Are you going to bring your Indiana Jones whip?
I dress like that all weekend, my friend.
And it's kind of annoying. Every time there's the garage door closing, he always leaves his hat just behind.
Yeah.
And he has to reach underneath.
Never gets old, does it?
It's time to play Josh Bell Knows Everything. 791-1075. If you think you know a lot about film, it's time to challenge Josh Bell. If you beat Josh Bell today, tickets to go see Dane Cook. Dane Cook is going to be at the Coliseum at Caesar's Palace Memorial Day weekend. 791-1075 if you want to play. If you lose to Josh Bell, you get nothing. It's Linkin Park, Bleed It Out on Extreme Disorder.
Extreme Disorder. X 1075.